It's very much a tradition at this time of the year that there is a reading from John chapter 1. We've actually already heard that part of it this morning, but I think it'd be good to read it again, and we're going to stand for the reading of God's word. Father, we just want to pray that as we read your word and as we share from it together, that you would, by your Holy Spirit, speak to us and minister it to our hearts, we pray. Amen. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was God in the beginning. All things were created through him, and apart from him, not one thing was created that has been created. Life was in him, and that life was the light of men. That light shines in the darkness, yet the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man named John who was sent from God. He came as a witness to testify about the light, so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to testify about the light. The true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was created through him. Yet the world did not recognize him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, he gave them the right to be children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. The Word became flesh and took up residence among us. We observed his glory, the glory as the one and only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Please sit down. Well, my dear friends, what a week it's been, hasn't it, really? I don't know what it's been like for you. You've heard the news from the last 24 hours, and before that, everybody being moved into Tier 3. My week also consisted of a coronavirus test, and I can't tell you the other aggro and hassle that I've had. I had not really wanted this, my last Sunday, to speak to you as pastor, to be on such an occasion, but that is it, that is life, we have to go with it. So what am I going to bring to you? What am I going to share with you? I could try and give you an encouragement. Things are going to be better in 2021. I could encourage you to do all sorts of other things. I could reminisce. I could be sentimental. I'm going to do none of that. Because obviously my responsibility is to give you what I believe the Lord is putting on my heart. And in a way, there's no better thing that I could do than to point you to the Lord. And so what I want to speak about, just, I don't know quite how it's all going to come together, but just to bring a few thoughts from these words that we've read in John's Gospel to encourage you as an individual and us all as Bethel Christian Assembly to have a wholehearted relationship to the Lord Jesus. If that was in place and remained in place, everything else will fall into place. So what does the Lord want to say to us at this time, as you come to a new phase, as we all come to a new phase at Bethel, and also as we come into a new phase as a country? Personally, I wonder whether the degree of judgment has increased, whether the last 24 hours has really, there's been a change, there's been a shift in the spiritual dynamic of the country. May God help us. So here are the thoughts. Verse 1, have your Bibles please open and look at it. John chapter 1. If we're going to have that right relationship to the Lord Jesus, we need to focus on who he is. We need to have our eyes on the eternal. He was there from the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Keep your eyes on what is of eternal significance. Keep your eyes and your focus on what the Lord has accomplished in you already. Keep your focus and remember what the Lord has accomplished in us at Bethel Christian Assembly. He is the Word before he was manifest in the flesh as the Lord Jesus. The expression of the mind, the heart, the character, the reason, the person of God. And God expressed himself through his Son. And if you want to know the Lord, you have to come through the Lord Jesus. You have to look to him. Don't get your focus anywhere else. Consider, my friends, the relationship of the Father to the Son to the Father, the Spirit to the Son, the Spirit to the Father. Consider the unity within the Godhead. All that you and I have experienced over this year has not taken the Lord by surprise. He is there on the throne. He is those relationships within the Godhead are still there. Consider the love that there is. The Father loves the Son. The Son loves the Father. Don't let go of what is of eternal value. The same was in the beginning with God. So that's the first thing. Focus on the Lord Jesus. And then and focus on his eternity and those relationships within the Godhead. And then next, focus on his creative ability. All things were made by him. I don't need to tell you, I'm sure, the literal physical truth of that. We've heard the words from Genesis chapter 1 already read to us today, haven't we? But my friends, what this is saying is that anything that is of value, anything that is of significance eternally in you, in your life, has been done through the Lord. It does not come through your background, your upbringing, your friendships, your schooling. It only comes through the Lord Jesus. And friends, that principle continues to hold true. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17 says, therefore, if anybody is in Christ, he is a new creation. God did not finish the creative processes on day 6 and then rested and has been resting ever since. Oh, not a bit of it. And so he's taken you as an individual. And he says, you are my new creation. And what's the first thing he does in your chaos and your life without void and without meaning? He gives light. What is that light? It's the Lord Jesus. He has put the person of his Son into your heart, into your life by his Spirit. 2 Corinthians 4 verses 6 and 7 puts it like this. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That is how it started. And if we were to consider what happened in creation, there is a parallel to what God wants to do in the life of the individual believer. He wants to produce fruitfulness. He wants there to be a separation. All these things are so significant. But my friends, my point is that everything that was made by him, all things were made by him. It's he who does it. It's he that will give you your fruitfulness. It's he that will enable that separation to take place between what is of God and what is not, between God and the things of the world and the things of darkness. It's the Lord who creates everything. And friends, for us at Bethel Christian Assembly, as we come into a new phase in 2021, the Lord has not stopped creating. 2021 will not be a maintaining of the status quo for the last years. You know, we'll just continue as things always have been. The only difference is Simon will be a bit less prominent. No. God has not finished with us as an assembly. All things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. The writer to the epistle to the Colossians says that in him everything holds together. Everything is set together. It's saying that the Lord Jesus, as our creator, is the one, in him everything holds together. My friend, your life you may feel is falling apart. He is the one who holds you together. He is the one who takes the various aspects of your life, your background, your upbringing, etc., the various influences. He is the one who can make sense of the whole thing. He is the one who's weaving the tapestry and will complete it to the end. Hallelujah. In him, everything holds together. My friends, he brought Bethel Christian Assembly into being, and he has purposes for us. And it's in him that the church will hold together. And it is my conviction, and if I'm right from my observation, that when a church loses its relationship to the head of the church, that's when things start breaking up. Hold on to him. He is the one who will hold you together. Let God put everything together. But it's more than that. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3 says, he upholds everything by the word of his power. Isn't that tremendous? My friends, the Lord is the one who's sustaining you and upholding you. And he does it by the word of his power. What a wonderful word. And my friend, as you allow the Lord to speak to you, as you allow the Lord to continue to let his word have an impact upon your heart, to renew your mind, to change your attitudes, to bring about all the purposes of the Lord in your life, as you allow his word to do that, he will uphold you. Indeed, if he doesn't do these things, well, it says, without him was not anything made that was made. By him, it says, literally, through him, all these things happen. Through him. It's all through the Lord. If he doesn't do those things, if you and I resist his creative process, what will be made? What will be accomplished? What will come into being? Nothing. Nothing of eternal worth. When it says all things were made by him in the Authorized Version, literally the phrase means all things were caused to come into being. My friend, God wants to cause something to come into being in you. Maybe initially, if you don't know the Lord at all, if you've not had that relationship with the Lord Jesus, the Lord wants to bring that relationship into being. Whatever the Lord further wants to build on that relationship, in that relationship, he will do it. He can do it. And for Bethel, the Lord who caused Bethel to come into being is the God who is going to continue to bring things into being. Who knows what the Lord has for us? All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. My friend, in your relationship with the Lord Jesus, remember his ability to create. And then verse 4. In him was life. In him was life. Just before I move on with this, I think we need to remember the words which you find on at least two occasions. I'm going to read to you from Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 39, where it says that our God is a God who gives life, but it says also that our God is a God who kills. Put it another way, God brings judgment, God brings pestilence, God brings disaster, but he can also bring hope from that disaster. God can bring destruction and God can build. Don't let's have a sentimental view of God. God does all these things. Friends, in him was life. And the thing is, you see, that if there is to be life, there has to be death. First of all, the seed has to go into the ground and die. For there to be resurrection, there has to be death. And friend, in you and I as individuals, if there is to be spiritual life, there needs to be a death. This is a principle which we should never ever forget. The Lord said we need to take up our cross daily and follow him. And the Lord loves you and me so much that he says there are things about Simon's life that I need to put to death. There are things that are destroying Simon. There are things that are not going to fulfill him, not going to satisfy him in the long term. And I want those things to go. Friends, the marvellous truth of the Christian gospel is that you and I have been crucified with Christ. That death has already taken place. And if we identify with the cross and believe that what happened there at the cross also applies to us. It wasn't just an event that brought us forgiveness of sins. It was an event that dealt with the problem of sin, which is me. Well, friends, let the Lord deal with those things. Let the Lord pull down, destroy, bring death even. All sorts of applications this will mean for each one of you. You are all different. You're all God's creation. For me, it meant that when I was in my 20s, I had to say goodbye to a career in music. And I haven't regretted a moment of it since. And that's just an example. In him was life. In him is life. Friends, keep hold of the life of God. If you let that go and substitute it with something else, life will become a mere existence. You know as well as I do, when John's Gospel speaks about life, it's not just talking about existence. I mean, the Greek word, which is zoe, means, just to quote one concordance, it means activity, it means direction. It's life in all its fullness. Didn't the Lord Jesus come? He said, I've come that you might have life in all its fullness, life abundantly. My friends, that is the life that the Lord is offering you. My friend, it's the Lord who will give you direction. It is the Lord who has got works prepared for you personally and for Bethel Christian Assembly. He's got these things prepared for us, and these things are of eternal worth and value. Praise the Lord. Friends, if we substitute his life for something else, there comes a mere existence. And there are so many people who are living, as the Bible says, by the maxim, let's eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. What direction is there? What hope is there? What future is there? My friends, compare that with what the Lord is offering you. Life. Here are some of the things we can replace that life with. and most of them begin with R, rules, legalism, i.e. it's number one. If you substitute, as if we as a church substitute the life of the Lord Jesus for thou shalt or thou shalt not, we will become a mere outward shell. If you focus on your relationship with the Lord as being a set of rules, and the Lord wants me to pray once a day, the Lord wants me to read the Bible once a day, I mean, I know those things are involved, but if it becomes a rule, the relationship then goes. Because we're called to live by the Spirit, not according to legalism, not according to legislation. Rules. Religion is another substitute. What do I mean by that? It's a bit of overlap, I suppose, with rules, but really what I was in my mind is the kind of religious experience that is actually counterfeit. You know, if you go into a lovely cathedral or see a wonderful view or whatever, you look at it and it kind of gives you a bit of a tingle factor. Do you know what I mean? The hairs on the back of the neck stand up. That kind of thing. Friends, it's a wonderful feeling. It's a wonderful view. Is it of God? Well, be careful. Don't be those who sort of subscribe to the view that if you have some kind of a mystical experience, that means it's automatically the Lord. And we can go to meetings, or we can become we can be those who worship meetings, worship a particular mode of worship. Friends, these things are substitute, they're not the real thing. We really do have to be discerning about it. In him is life. The fact that you may go to a particular meeting or we may have a particular experience of God on one occasion, if it is an experience of God, friends, that's just a one-off. It's in him is life. And that has to be sustained over periods of time. Rules, religion, riches, the world. How many are losing their love for the Lord because they're falling in love with the things of the world? Don't. Those things are transient and temporary. They do not last. And this doesn't begin with R, but there's an R in it. Rules, religion, riches, unrestraint. There's no such word, really. Lack of restraint. What I mean is license. Kind of behaviour that says, well, anything goes. Life consists of doing whatever I want. And again, there's a bit of religion with this as well. Spiritual life consists of going to whatever kind of meeting I choose and whatever I particularly like to do, whatever suits me, whatever I enjoy, that's fine. No, friend, it's not. Those who worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. And the Lord says in 1 John 2 that those who, you cannot love God and this world. The form of this world is passing away. We need to have a divine restraint, even a divine skepticism. Weigh all things, judge all things accordingly. Don't substitute life by reasoning, by the philosophies of this world. Don't substitute your Christian life by reading books and getting your theology second or third hand. Don't do it, friend. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. It is from the word, by the Spirit, through the word. That is how you are nourished. The disciples said to the Lord, he said to them, rather, are you going to go away also? And Peter said, you have the words of eternal life. Friends, that should be our heart attitude, and that's where we need to make, that's where we need to be feeding. And I'm not against reading books at all, but just don't make them your spiritual food. Don't make them your diet. Why make a recipe your diet when you can have roast turkey and have the real thing? So my friend, in him is life. Hold fast to him. Always seek for the life of God, both in your life as an individual, and let's do that as a church as well. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. He is the source of your light. What is light? I've given you the scripture. 2 Corinthians 4 verses 6 and 7. For God, who commanded the light to shine, has shone in our hearts the light of the, here it is, knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Light is the knowledge of God, and it comes through Christ. Light is spiritual illumination. Light is spiritually given understanding. That is what light speaks about. It also speaks about moral perfection. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Friend, get your light from the Lord Jesus. You won't get it anywhere else. You really won't. Well, we've had a number of readings about light, so I won't go into those. I won't repeat those. I think the Lord was speaking to us through them as we heard those scriptures first thing today. But I will read John chapter 8 and verse 12, where the Lord says, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness. And that's the question, friend. We need to follow the Lord Jesus. If he's shone in our hearts, that light, we now need to follow the Lord and to keep following. And John's gospel, if you didn't know, forgive me if I'm repeating it, but all these verbs here are in the present continuous tense. It's something we need to go on doing. He that goes on following me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Light and life are inextricably linked. Darkness equals blindness, lack of understanding, etc., death. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness was not able to overcome it. Time is marching on. I think I'm just going to finish with just touching on verses 6 onwards. Last week, you heard from Neil about Elijah. And Neil rightly compared Elijah with John the Baptist. All sorts of reasons why that is a legitimate comparison. But if you think about John the Baptist as you think about Elijah, but let's think about John the Baptist. His childhood, his upbringing was in the desert. He was hidden. And friend, your walk with the Lord may be hidden. God is preparing you for the purposes that he has for you for the future. Don't try and jump the gun. Don't say, Lord, I'm fed up with waiting. I'm going to go off and do my own thing. Let the Lord mould you and fashion you in the wilderness, in the hidden place where nobody may recognise you, where nobody may appreciate you, where no one will say to you, well done, what a marvellous person you are. You won't get any praise from men. Indeed, you may be ignored, but God is preparing you for something. Friends, don't despise the training that the Lord will give you. And don't want to be like everybody else. I mean, John the Baptist could have thought, oh, I'd much rather be out with everybody else. I'd much rather be with my friends. I'd much rather be, doing everything with everybody else. And he had to be content to be by himself. Now, I'm not saying you will necessarily be isolated like that. But being a Christian can be a lonely business. And you can be amongst, of course, you'll be amongst a whole load of people and be lonely and be isolated. But just let the Lord make you the person he wants you to be. I mean, you know, it wouldn't have, you know, if you'd invited John the Baptist round for a meal or something, you know, and offered him the roast turkey, he would have said, no thanks very much, I'd rather have a locust. Or, you know, you're saying you're having a bit of a party and everybody's going to be dressing up nicely, you know, tie, please note, smart outfit, what does he come? Outfit wearing camel's hair, I mean, looking a complete, I don't know what, really. There is spiritual significance, actually, in all those things. Both those things, the locust and the coat. But my point is this. Just be willing to be different. Just be willing to be different. Do not be conformed to this world, the Bible says. Romans 12. But be transformed. Friend, you are to get ready for the Lord's return. But not just you. The Lord wants you to be an instrument to get other people ready for the Lord's return. You are called to be a witness to the light. As a church, the Lord wants us to be a witness. That is our sole reason for existence. If we do not bear witness to the light, what purpose do we have? Let the Lord prepare us to be more effective witnesses, individually and as a church. We are not that light, but we've been called to bear witness to the light. And so we need to go on believing, go on receiving, verse 12. And the aim of this is so that the Lord can dwell among us. Christ among us, Christ in us, the hope of glory. That much more. Well, that's enough, I think, today. But as far as Bethel is concerned, I suppose my encouragement to us all is keep your focus. Let's keep our focus on the Lord. In the beginning was the word. Let's keep our focus on his ability to do everything. He is the one who creates. Let's keep our focus on the one who alone can give understanding and light. Let's keep our focus on the one who has called us to have fellowship with his Son. Let's keep our focus on the life and let nothing substitute it. Let's keep our focus on our calling to bear witness to the light. And let's look to the Lord to be able to, the word to become flesh more. I feel we've hardly started, really. To become flesh in us, among us, so that he may dwell among us that much more. He wants, as the Song of Songs puts it so marvellously, to be able to come as our heavenly bridegroom into his garden. And the bride is compared to like a garden. And he wants to come into the garden and to see all the fruit that's there and all the fragrance. And he comes to this person from Bethel Christian Assembly and he smells that fragrance and he says, oh, that's lovely. You're like a rose. And he comes to somebody else and he says, you're like something else because I have got no recollection of any other plant apart from a rose. He wants to come among us and dwell among us. May God make that increasingly reality. Shall we pray, please? Dear Lord, how we want to thank you that you came, the Word made flesh. We want to thank you that you revealed the God to us. We want to thank you that as many as receive you, to them you give the right to become a child of God. And Lord, even as you've been pleased to come as light, the light, into the world. We want to look to you that that light would shine increasingly brightly in each one of us. Lord, help us to follow you, to walk closely with you, to be the children of light, as your word speaks. But we just want to ask you for Bethel as we come into this new phase in our own life as a church. Lord, keep our focus on yourself, we pray. And help us to hold fast to the life that you've given to us. And may you be increasingly pleased to manifest yourself among us in whatever way you choose. And oh Lord, as our country is in such desperate states, Lord, we are so sorry that as a church, by and large, we are silent, we're an irrelevance, we're a place of darkness in some quarters. And that light and that life has been replaced by other things. Lord, may at least from Bethel, but oh God, we would cry to you up and down the country, may something of that light shine again. We pray. Oh God, speak to us. Open our eyes to see how empty life is apart from you. But joined to you, how wonderful it is. Life in all its fullness. Blessed be your name. Lord, let your blessing be upon us here as we're gathered together, on those who are watching on Zoom. May you be the source of our joy and our life and our light this Christmas time, we pray. Amen. Amen.